So I noticed that during the bhajan, quite a number of devotees were, we say in Polish, spach, they're sleeping.
Я заметил, что во время баджана многие преданные так начали кивать, засыпая.
You shouldn't have to sleep during the bhajan on after a day off like we had yesterday. Hmm? Did you take the day off or did you go shopping?
Вы как?
Actually, what we should do on days off, a way to use our recreation is just to sit and chant.
Сидеть где-то воспевать.
Prabhupada said 16 rounds minimum, and that sometimes devotees struggle in the West, but here in Vrindavan, 16 really is the minimum, and you should take advantage of being in such a holy place to chant more Hare Krishna. Today I got up quite early and I just peeked into the ashram. There's an ashram right next door to where I live. It's actually a goshala and an ashram. And there was, with the morning light just beginning, I could see one sadhu in that ashram. He was sitting and he was reading. As the first rays of the light were coming, he was reading something. Just kind of wandered in. I wanted to pet the cow, so. Two little calves actually were there. And as I walked by the sadhu, he said, no, sit here with me. And he started to read.
Он начал мне читать.
And of course, it was in, I don't know what it was, something I think
конечно,
Bengali.
Я не знаю, что это, на каком языке, скорее всего, на Бенгали.
So I listened for a while, and then, you know, I became restless. And I said, Babaji, what are you reading? Big smile came over his face. Big, big smile. His eyes got real big. He said, Chaitanya Bhagavat.
С большими глазами он сказал, это Чайтанья Бхагавата.
And I was transcendentally jealous of his deep, not only his deep absorption, but his deep attraction and appreciation and love for Chaitanya Bhagavat. And as it didn't come by chance, it was because he was, looked like he was reading it a lot. The pages were worn, and he just looked like he was just sitting there all the time reading. So I left, and then later that morning I went out to do something, and I glanced to the gate. It's around 11 o'clock, and there was the sadhu sitting motionless, you know, just reading the same book, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then that night, around, I don't know, like the sun was starting to set, it was 6 or something, I just peeked again, and there he was. He hadn't moved all day. He was still reading Chaitanya Bhagavat. I was thinking, this is what I should be doing. Of course, I have an excuse. I have some responsibilities there for a large Parikrama party, but I don't really think that's so much of an excuse. We have to work on our bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur warned us one time in one of his teachings, one of his books, he says, the nature of your bhajan will be tested at the moment of death. So if spare time, this is also important, coming out and seeing the holy places and hearing the leelas, but if on the days off, take some time for bhajan. The lay bazaar will not go away. Those merchants will not pack up and go someplace else. One time, someone offered the devotees a house, not a house, but like a bhajan kutir, practically just on the steps of Radhakund, Shyamakund. This is Ning year. So Malati, Mother Malati and Shyamasundar came to Prabhupada very excited. Sir Prabhupada, there's someone wants to give a donation, a nice small little house right on the banks of Radhakund. So, yes, accept. And then Malati got all excited. She said, Prabhupada, we'll just have Harinam Sankirtan, you know, hours a day, and we'll preach, and, you know, we'll have classes in the evening. And Prabhupada said, no, he had no preaching. He said, Radhakund is simply for bhajan, for relishing bhajan. So that's really why Prabhupada wanted us to come to the greater Vrindavan for this bhajan. And then when the heart is purified, then when you go back, the preaching is effective. But one pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada did by establishing Krishna consciousness all over the world, a whole society of devotees, ISKCON, is just barely trying to maintain that preaching. One is much more effective in one's preaching if one's bhajan is very pukka. it's said that whatever service you do here, it's magnified 1,000 times. And beware that whatever offenses you make, they're also magnified 1,000 times. Take one day and try to chant 64 rounds. Well, for hundreds of years, that has been the daily standard practice for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Of course, we have our excuse. We're preaching, but we're not preaching here. We're doing bhajan, so one day, try. Mother Malati told us another story. She said one time in Bombay, in those days, she got very sick. She had very bad hepatitis. She had to go to the hospital. And she couldn't do anything. She's generally a very active devotee, but, you know, because she was sick, she couldn't do anything. So she tried to sit up in her bed and just chant on her beads. So it is so kind that he came to the hospital to visit her. And she said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I'm so sorry." She said, "I'm not able to do any service. I was just chanting all day." Prabhupada just chuckled. He said, "No, this is the goal of Krishna consciousness, to chant Hare Krishna all day long." But the American boys and girls are so restless, I have to create so many engagements for you. And then if you get the taste by doing bhajan, then you won't fall asleep when your spiritual master is speaking. You won't sleep when Bibi Govinda Maharaj is leading kirtan. You won't fall asleep. Even after an hour and a half of speaking and leading kirtan. Then when he finishes, you'll go, "Aniyor! Aniyor! Aniyor! Give me more, Maharaj!" By doing these things together, it's more potent when we do these things. Bhajan actually means alone or with one or two, but Mahaprabhu's Goshna Nandi, we come together and we do these things, and very potent together. Srila Swami states in the Bhakti Sandarbha that this kirtanam, coming together, congregational chanting, it's especially nice because it gives even neophyte devotee some taste of deep spiritual emotions. And if together and do these things together here in this world, then there's every chance that we can do them together in a liberated state, in a pure Krishna conscious state in the spiritual world. See the cover they have in the songs of the Vaishnavacharyas. You see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the bottom doing the kirtan, and on the top there's Radha and Krishna with the gopis enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan. The different ways to understand Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radhe Krishna Nayanga, the same personalities who perform those pastimes there in female forms, they come to this world and they perform the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in male forms. So if you practice in these activities of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, then you become qualified to participate in the Nitya Seva, the Nitya leaders of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. Bodhananda Saraswati in his Chaitanya Chandamrita, he says that one gets the mercy of Srimati Radharani by serving the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Saraj was singing so beautifully that description of the spiritual world and Radha and Krishna's pastimes, the mood, the deep emotions that are there. I was just looking at this picture, the bottom part of Lord Chaitanya, and thinking, yes, this is what Mahaprabhu taught us to do in the Association of Vaishnavas. We sing these songs. My eyes went to the top of the page, and I was looking at Radha and Krishna and the gopis, and Maharaj leaned over, and he was describing some of those pastimes there. Then he concluded, he says, "Together, you and me, we will decorate the kunja together."
Well, I mean, I hope.
Ну, я, по крайней мере, надеюсь на это.
Whatever a brahmana says comes to be.
It'll be more fun than fighting Kazakhs.
That's how you get the call. By fighting the Kazakhs, you get the qualification for giving the beetle nut to Krishna.
Но, конечно, благодаря войне с казахами развивается духовная квалификация.
I took it actually quite seriously because a brahmana has stated something like that, a Vaishnava on the banks of the Jamuna River in Vrindavan. It's a little warm, actually, where it's, after all, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. It's high noon, as we say in English. Winter is coming, so it's not so bad, not too hot. And we're in a transcendental environment. Just to the back of me is the Jamuna River, and as I look forward, just behind you, I see the beautiful Madan Mohan Temple. did I see the groves of Vrindavan and the cows and cowherd boys, and to my left I see the town of Vrindavan, most notably we see the Keshi Ghat. So we're completely surrounded, immersed in auspiciousness. Madan Mohan Temple, of course, you know, this is the first temple in Vrindavan. Prahlad was briefly describing a few days ago how when Krishna left the planet, the Brajabasis were thrown into a deep, vast ocean of Vipralamba Bhav, of separation from Krishna, when Krishna left this world. At that time, Krishna's grandson, one of his many grandsons, Brajanab, he came up with a very good idea. To mitigate the sufferings, the feelings of separation of the residents of Vrindavan, then he will have very beautiful deities of the Lord carved, and he will establish those deities according to the different places of Krishna's pastimes here in Vrindavan. He did that. So many deities were carved, and they were placed in different parts of Vrindavan, and the Brajabasis who were missing Krishna, they'd come, and they'd worship those deities, almost as having the Lord personally. At least in the hearts of those who have pure devotion. Prabhupada has taught us that the deity is none different than the Lord. When the Brahmana, the young Brahmana, came back from Orissa to ask Shakshi Gopal to come to Orissa to stand as witness that the older Brahma had promised his daughter, Didi was hesitating. Lord said, the boy said, Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Now, as you know, that was 5,000 years ago, so much, 50 centuries have gone by. And early history has shown that on a number of occasions, there were different invaders, different marauders. I think the Muslims first came into this country almost exactly 1,000 years ago.
Uzbeks here today?
Uzbeka у нас нет сегодня здесь.
Who was it, Timur? Who was that person?
Uzbeks. Babur came first and Timur came later.
Babur, but
Timur was from Samarkand. One time I took Gurudev to Timur's samadhi. So we all went down in the basement of the mausoleum where his actual tomb was. So Gurudev, we were all standing there very silent looking at Timur's grave. He said, everybody here understand concept of manasa puja? We all went, yeah. He said, okay, now everybody do manasa, pee pee, and kaka.
That's Gurudev, sir.
Hi. So because of these marauding invaders, very often the pujaris had to hide those deities. They put them into the bottom of the lake, they would hide them in the forest, they would hide them in caves, they would bury them. Years passed and the pujari maybe didn't come back or he was killed or something. So many deities were lost to external vision. But part of Tanya's plan in sending the six Goswamis here, when it was really just a jungle, was to reestablish the deity worship, write books about Krishna consciousness, and discover where those leelas took place. The story, if you study it carefully, you'll see when the Goswamis came here, they didn't like carve new deities. That's not what happened. Generally, what happened was the Goswamis found, by Krishna's arrangement, those old deities and reestablished their worship. Actually, before the Goswamis came, it's described how Advaitacharya was doing pilgrimage of all the holy places of India. And there, you see the Madan Mohan, Mohan Temple behind you. Just there, if you go to the temple and you go down the steps on the other side to the little streets of Vrindavan, you go a little bit to the left, there's a place called Advaitavat. Advaitacharya, our original Advaitacharya from the Panchatapa, he was doing his bhajan there, and while he was doing his bhajan, he looked down in the ground, and he saw part of that form of a deity coming out of the ground. And he called the devotees over, and he had them dig that area up, and he found the deity, which he called Madan Gopal. So I don't know how long Advaitacharya actually stayed in Vrindavan during his parikrama here, but while he was here, he worshipped that deity. And then Acharya was going to go back to Navadvip, to Mayapur, to join Lord Chaitanya, Sankirtan. He entrusted that deity to a Brahmana from Mathura. I think his name was Chaudhri. And later on, the various Goswamis started arriving for their to fulfill the instructions of Lord Chaitanya here in Vrindavan. So one time, Sanatan Goswami, he was doing his Madhukari, and they would go far and wide for their Madhukari. He was actually in that area of Mathura, and he saw that some children were playing with a very beautifully dark-skinned young boy. He was pretty attracted to this one child who had very beautiful, long, flowing black hair, and his eyes appeared like lotus petals. They were extended almost to his ears, and his lips were very reddish, very beautiful. His teeth were set like rows of pearls. He had three lines in his neck here, very thin waist, broad shoulders, thin waist, soft looking, delicate, like this. He was thinking, he was enchanted by this boy. Of course, that boy was. Don't think these things can't happen. This is Sri Vrindavan Dham. He can appear before the eyes of his pure devotees. Pure devotees can appear before the eyes of other devotees. One Prabhupada was chanting at the Radha Dhammadhar temple. He'd taken some of his disciples down there, and it was a quiet moment. He was chanting, and he saw one rather tall disciple chanting off nearby, chanting very nicely. Who is that young boy? I haven't seen him. And Shamsundar said, he's newly arrived, Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada said, bring him here. He said to that boy, he said, so, where are you preaching? The disciple said, Srila Prabhupada, with one other godbrother, we're preaching in South India. Prabhupada said, how old are you? I'm 19 years old. And you're preaching in South India? Yeah, we're studying your book, Srila Prabhupada, learning the shlokas, and we're defeating the Mayavadis. Because it was very unusual, because in those days we were all together, we had authority, we were surrendered. We weren't like going someplace and just preaching like that. So probably your plans. And that boy said, well, after preaching there, and when the hot season comes, we're going to go and preach in Vietnam. The Prabhupada said, there's a war going on there, the Vietnam War. He said, yes, Prabhupada, therefore we should go there and preach. Oh, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, for a minute, so he said, therefore you should take sannyas. The boy was stunned. Srila Prabhupada said, therefore, you and your friend, you should take sannyas. Over there is Srila Rupa Goswami Samadhi Mandir. You go there, and you sit, and you pray to Rupa Goswami for direction, and you come back and tell me what he said. It's a young 19-year-old brahmachari. So he went and he sat and he said that he chanted for like 4 or 5 hours, and he came back to see Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, so? So the boy said, yes. He said, I should take some notes. Prabhupada's mercy alone, we have access to these great personalities. One time, the disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked him in public, do the previous acharyas who lived hundreds or even thousands of years ago, do they actually hear our prayers? Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied, he said, yes, they hear and they answer your prayers. So then Prabhupada said to this boy, he said, go to Shamsundar and tell him to take you to Loy Bazaar and buy some new cloth for taking sannyas. We'll have the ceremony on the first day of Kartik.
Yes.
So that devotee went to Shamsundar, but Shamsundar, he wouldn't believe him. He said, no, who are you? We don't know you. There's a couple boys taking sannyas that we've never heard of you. You're making up the story. And that devotee said, no, go ask Prabhupada. So Shamsundar went and asked Prabhupada, said, yes, he's taking sannyas along with his friend. So 2 days later, Prabhupada held an initiation ceremony, and some devotees received first, second, and these two boys, their names were Paramahansa and Paribhajakacharya. They were awarded sannyas at 19 years of age. When Sri Thakirti Prabhu told us the story, he said the initiation ceremony was held in the Radha Damodar temple, and after the ceremony, Prabhupada said, that was a very nice ceremony. He said, did you see Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis? They came for the yajna. There's no ordinary movement, even in modern times. These great personalities, the Lord and His pure devotees, they're there, they're inspiring us, they're encouraging us, they're pushing us on. So Sanatan Goswami, he saw that beautiful boy, so the boy stopped playing, and that beautiful, handsome boy, he ran home because it was time for dinner. So we followed him home. He looked in the window, and that little boy was playing, and all of a sudden, then Sanatan Goswami knocked on the door. As soon as he knocked on the door, That little boy ran up onto the altar and stood like this. It was the deity of Madan Gopal that in Dvaitacharya had given to that family. That family was, those Vaishnavas were so advanced, Krishna was reciprocating with their spontaneous mood of pure devotion. He was just one of the children in the family. Seeing that, the Chaudhary Brahman, he answered the door, and Sanatana Goswami mildly chastised. He said, "You cannot treat the deity like this. You have to. The deity means you have to worship him with so many rules, so many regulations. This is Vaidhi Bhakti. You have to worship the deity with all the rules. And what is this playing with the deity?" The Brahman very bad. That night, back here in Vrindavan, probably here on this hill, Sanatana Goswami had a dream. In that dream, that same Madan Gopal appeared to him. Why did you speak to that Brahmana? They are my loving Prem Bhaktis. They worship me according to the rules and regulations. They're all great. Why have you done like that? Sanatana Goswami, he woke up with a start. And immediately he started walking to Mathura. He reached early morning, he knocked on that Brahmana's door, he wanted to apologize. And when the Chaudhary opened the door, he saw Sanatana Goswami, he went, "Oh my Lord!" He ran to the altar and picked the deity off the altar and placed him in the hands of Sanatana Goswami. And he said to Sanatana Goswami, "I had the most amazing dream last night. I had dreamed that my deity appeared to me and he said, now he wants to go in your care. So if you come here, I should give him to you." This is how Sanatana Goswami attained the deity of Madan Gopal, which he later called Madan Mohan. We have Manohara, the Lord who attracts our mind by his beautiful transcendental features. So Mohan means the attractor, and Madan refers to Cupid. So the name of the deity is he who attracts even Cupid. So the history of how Sanatana Goswami obtained one of the deities that was established originally by Brajanab, the great grandson of Krishna. And later on, I'm sure at some point, we'll hear how Sridhara Rupa Goswami found his deity in somewhat of a similar fashion, buried underneath a mound here in Vrindavan, how he found his beloved Govindaji. Madhupandit found the beautiful Gopinath. We know from the song we often sing that there are there's 7,000 temples in Vrindavan, but there's 7 principal temples in Vrindavan. But there are 3 principal temples out of those 7 temples, and they are the Madan Mohan temple, the Govindaji temple, and the Gopinath temple. We know that the devotees, these great acharyas, obtained these deities, and although they were renunciates, they didn't have any income by the arrangement of the Lord, other devotees built beautiful temples for the worship of these deities. I was seeing when we were below the Madan Mohan temple, how Sanatana Goswami was worshiping that deity up on the hill. Of course, it's one of the more popular pastimes, how that merchant came down the river, which ran just along that Perkamamarg there originally. And his boat got stuck, and he came off the boat and wanted help, and one little boy directed him to the sadhu on the hill, and the sadhu said, "Pray to Krishna." He prayed, and he saw that his boat was immediately released by some divine arrangement. So he left, and he went and sold the salt, came back, gave all the money to Sanatana Goswami to build a beautiful temple. You see how renovating it now, it's come to disrepair. It's a protected archaeological site. But we don't go there for the purpose of just looking at the archaeological excavation and looking at this old temple. That's not how we approach the temple or the deity of Madan Mohan or the great Acharya Srila Sanatana Goswami who establishes worship. We come here in Vrindavan with more of an internal mood than an external mood. Krishna is very much an internal thing, an internal cultivation of gradual pure devotion for the Lord. It's somewhat gupta, somewhat secret. A devotee doesn't really so much share his deeper inner realizations except with other devotees who are on the same level of advancement. We mentioned the day that we should take vratas, we should take vows when we come here to Vrindavan, but Acharyas say that we shouldn't let anyone know what those vows are because it diminishes the potency that we gain, or the purity, or the bhakti that we get from observing those strict vows during the month of Kartik. But Srila makes some extra effort here. Extra effort in what? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, the nine processes of devotional service. In particular, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Shmaranam, Krishna Shmaranam. And there's a rise process for entering into the mysteries of this holy Nam. And this is nicely described by Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When we come to Vrindavan, first place we come, the first temple, because Vrindavan means so many temples, so many deities, so much puja, so many sadhus sitting there speaking the glories of these deities. The very first temple that we visit is the temple of Madan Mohan. And then to visit the temple of Govindaji, and then last we go to visit the temple of Gopinath, but not just in this one trip. This is a lifetime process, in many lifetimes. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudurlabha. After many, many lifetimes, the devotees in full understanding surrenders to me. So this Madan Mohan is so important to us. I know from being Maharaja's friend for so many years that that place, in particular the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Sanatana Goswami, that is one of Govinda Maharaja's favorite places. Why? Because he likes Sanatana Shiksha. He likes that part of Bhagavatam very much. He's gained very much. So therefore, out of appreciation and gratitude, and in order to glorify that great Acharya, Maharaj goes to Madan Mohan Temple and to sit at the feet of Srila Sanatana Goswami's Samadhi Mandir. So why approaching Madan Mohan first? Because he's Madan Mohan. He's the attractor of Cupid. Cupid is all-powerful in this world. Pumsha stariya mituni bhavam tayor mito hridaya grantani moho. We've heard many times that the attraction between male and female is the whole principle of material existence. Based misconception, because the original attraction, Adi-ras is to the beautiful forms and seva of Radha and Krishna. But the perverted reflection is, boy is attracted to girl, girl is attracted to boy. It is lust which makes the world go round. Lust and greed are the three gates not opening to the Vaikuntha or Goloka, but going downwards. From 1968, he said, public enemy number one, Mr. Lust. But and these desires, which are nothing more than our manifestation to enjoy separately from Krishna, to be the enjoyer rather than the servant, these nasty desires, they bind us life after life after life to material existence. And they are the enemy of every transcendentalist. Prabhupada has said that many stalwarts on the path of devotion have fallen down, even their advance, due to the allurement of money and women. You give up this strong attraction which seems to bind even the great minds and hearts of demigods. How can puny earthlings like us overcome such strong desires? In his Nastra, in his Niti Shastra, Chanika Pandit gives one quarter of one verse, is that you can only give up something if you get something better. So everyone is fascinated by this so-called loving sentiment. Is there anything better in this world? No. By grace of the Lord, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya tuduskritam. He comes for the purpose of enlivening his devotees, killing the miscreants, and reestablishing the principles of devotion. He comes, and he, on that transcendental stage, he enacts his transcendental leelas, and if you see those leelas, you'll immediately give up your lusty desires, because they're so beautiful, they're so enchanting, they melt the heart. In the Chaitanya-bhagavata, Vrindavan Das Thakur has nicely stated that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are so wonderful in the spiritual world, but they're even more appreciable in the material world. How the Lord's pastimes are more appreciable in this darkness of material existence? Well, that's the point. If you take a valuable jewel, like a yellow sapphire or a brilliant clear diamond, and you put it on a piece of white paper, you're not going to see it very well. But if you put it on a black piece of paper, dark blue velvet or dark red velvet. Because of that dark background, you can appreciate the beauty of the jewel even more. So you get to see the beautiful, colorful, effulgent, transcendentally, emotionally saturated pastimes of the Lord here with the background of material existence, the darkness of material, the ignorance of material existence. They become even more beautiful, more appreciable. And even a conditioned soul who has some perverted attraction to matter, he has a change of heart and he becomes devotee. It's just a question of having that opportunity. Therefore, Swami warns the materialists who have not the grihastras, but the grihamedis, Prabhupada said, who have taken a vow that they will enjoy, they will be successful to enjoy. And this is where he warns them, don't go to Vrindavan. Particularly in the Sarat season, the autumn season, when Krishna's on the banks of the Keshi Ghat, just down there, the banks of the river, blowing his Venu to attract the hearts of his gopis to come and dance with him. Don't go and see that beautiful form, because if you do, you'll break your vow. All of an inherent fear as Vaishnavas in our hearts. Something we picked up after we came into the association, of a certain inherent fear. What is to break our vows. The disciple has that fear. I don't want to displease my spiritual master. One time a disciple was very open-hearted. He said to Prabhupada, I just can't follow all the principles. I can't more. And he was expecting Prabhupada might be lenient, but Prabhupada's reply was, but you promised. But Prabhupada, you promised. It's like my father used to say sometimes, is nothing sacred anymore? So this vow, that we take a vow, like Devadatta, he took the vow he would remain brahmacharya his whole life. And the demigods appreciating that, they said, Bhishma, Bhishma, Bhishma. They flowers. He has taken this ugra, this horrible, terrible vow. Those who have deep material attachments, they're thinking this is something terrible. We're thinking, oh no, these are the regulative principles of freedom. These are the principles we're bound by duty, by our vow, to follow them. But we know the result is liberation. Change keep us bound to material existence, birth after birth, lust and anger and greed. By being a faithful disciple of our spiritual, of Guru and Gauranga, the chains are released. We get liberation, real liberation, the opportunity to render devotional service to the Lord. So inherent fear, but this type of vow you can break. I will enjoy this material world. Well, neither can or will you, but that vow, you can break that vow when you see the beautiful form of Govinda playing his flute just down there at Keshi Ghat on the banks of the Jhumna. If you see that form, then you'll give up something to get something better, Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we should engage in deity worship. Although temple worship, deity worship was the process of Dipura Yuga, because it's so potent, it's been carried over by mercy into the Kali Yuga. And therefore, every morning here, if you could, because we go to our Krishna Balaram Mandir, but if you had the opportunity, in the early days, devotees like Govinda Maharaj and others, Burijan and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, those who actually lived some time here in Vrindavan, they would very often, the first part of what did the morning mean? Going quickly and circumambulating all the seven principal temples in Vrindavan. That's what Brajvasis do. If you could see in the morning, if you came down here, going circumambulation, before anything else, circumambulating the seven temples of Vrindavan. That is, because the deities are so beautiful. Abhasis have their favorite deities, and they love deity worship. Mm-hmm. I remember there, some years back, I was worshipping a deity of Nrisimhadev, and Govinda Maharaj, at that time his name was Ayodhyapati, he didn't have a deity, and then he desired to worship a deity, and naturally he wanted to worship Giriraj Govardhan. And correct wrong, Maharaj, when he came to our authority and asked for permission, he was denied permission to worship the Govardhan Shila. And I saw how frustrated Maharaj was, because he was Brajbasi. That means worshiping the Lord has come, and Archivigraha, his most merciful incarnation as the deity, because Krishna comes and goes, but the deity stays for centuries and thousands of years. Therefore, Archivigraha, the most merciful incarnation, deity.
Well, the truth is that I started planning to kill my GBC man. But then I decided that wouldn't be auspicious. Might get in trouble. So then I thought, well, the deity in Kali Yuga is the holy name, so I started trying to chant Japa better. And then in 1986 in Mayapur, Gurudev got angry at the GBC man. Got into a good argument with him. And he said, and besides that, you don't let a Yojapati have a Govardhan Shila. GBC man, he wasn't accustomed to having his people argue with him. He said, okay, you tell a Yojapati to have a Govardhan Shila. I went to him and I said, I was standing in the temple room in Mayapur, and I said, I looked at my GBC man and I said, well, what size Govardhan Shila should I get? He said, look next to Radha Madhava. He said, order you. Get one that size. And always wear it around your neck.
When Prabhupada installed the little rod in Krishna in New Dwarka, he told the devotees, the little children ones, before the big ones came, he said, if you see this deity as brass, then he'll remain brass to you forever. But if you worship according to the rules and regulations as been given by our Vaishnava Acharyas, he said, one day this deity will speak to you. So it doesn't just mean going to take darshan. Deity worship means waking the Lord and bathing the Lord and dressing the Lord and cooking for the Lord and fetching water for the Lord. And if you can do this 24 hours a day, this is full absorption. And in this way, what happens? You become purified. In a purified state, can we actually offer tangible service which is actually appreciated by the Lord? Just like before we engage in the physical activities of deity worship, we do manasapuja, we sit and we purify our minds by worshiping our guru and the acharyas and the Lord. And in that purified state, we can begin to do the practical activity of, it's a very much an internal thing, worshiping deities. Gandhi had this policy called Harijan. He wanted to make all the very poor people who were quite often addicted to impure habits and or even sinful activities. He said they're also Harijan. Jana means like people, like Brajajana, the people of Braj. So Harijan means the people of God. He said they're also people of God. Let the Harijans come off the street and just come into the temple. Let them also worship the deity. Why not? No, because even if they did take a shower, the heart is impure. The heart is infested with desires, again, like lust and anger and greed. And those are the real obstacles between us and God. So when your false attraction to this world and you become attracted to the beautiful form of the Lord, Madan Mohan, then you become qualified to go to the next temple of the heart, to go to the temple of Radha Govinda and engage your purified senses in his service. Just like I said, you can't serve mammon and God simultaneously. Or as Uncle Swami said to the young boy who wanted the most valuable thing, he said, I'll give you the most valuable thing, young man, if you give up that propensity for sense gratification, material enjoyment, and prove it by taking that touchstone, which can give you gold, dhanam, janam, shundarim, and throw it into the Kusham Sarovara lake. That's what, if you want the touchstone, you know, I can tell you where it is. It's at the bottom of Kusham Sarovara. Tribe, because the British went there in the early 30s and they wanted to excavate some of these kuns because they heard there were treasures at the bottom from previous ages. They could not find the bottom of Kusham Sarovara with all their, at that time, modern day scientific instruments. It's very deep. With the desire to throw away our material attachments, how can you do it? They've been with us for millions and millions. It's not just a question of remembering what you did when you were a teenager. It's a question of the dirt in the heart for millions and millions and millions. How can we give it up when we come to Vrindavan and we see the beautiful form of Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, who attracts even Cupid himself? Govindvar says that Cupid came here looking for Krishna because he'd shot everyone else with his arrows of lust. He heard there was a handsome boy here. He came. He saw Krishna in the kunj. He drew his, took his bow out. He took his arrow of lust, a special arrow like you see the Gurukul boys do. They touch the bow and the arrow to their head, then they lower it. And they should, but he couldn't let go because he was so enchanted. Who is this beautiful, handsome boy here in the... And he just fell down and surrendered to Krishna's lotus feet. And then, we've given up that false attraction, at least in principle, maybe not fully in heart yet, but at least you've taken the vow of determination. Then you can approach Govindaji, and by engaging in Govindaji's service, your senses become further purified to the point where you awaken your spiritual senses. Big difference, the material senses and the spiritual senses between lust and love. Prabhupada said, lust means for me, and love means for Krishna. Awaken your divine spiritual senses, your siddhadeta, your spiritual form. When your spiritual master, when the holy name reveals your spiritual form, then all you want to do is just serve Krishna with your senses for the satisfaction of the divine couple. In that state where your material senses are not only subdued, but extinguished. They become extinct like dinosaurs. Forever, dinosaurs will never come back. Then, and your spiritual senses are fully awoken by worshipping Govindaji, then, on the order of your guru, you can go forward and you can worship Gopinath, Master, Lord of the Gopis. And then Vrindavan, where the residents of Vrindavan are giving their be-all and end-all, everything to the pleasure of the divine couple, Sisi, Radha and Krishna. That is a subject which is far beyond my understanding or ability or qualification to describe. I will leave that for later day for His Holiness Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj to discuss the surface of Radha Gopinath.
И это служение Радха Гопинатхи настолько возвышено, что я не имею совершенно никакой квалификации говорить об этом, поэтому позже сегодня Его Святейшество Бхакти Брингуинна Махарадж вас просветит в этом отношении.
I'm Don Mohan, just begging for some mercy to become purified, to be able to associate with great devotees of the Lord who are pleasing Him. Sisi Radha Madan Mohan Ki, Srila Sanatan Goswami Prabhupada Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Worldwide ISKCON Ki, Archivigraha Seva Ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe.